So we read from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. I'll be going through the story again in the sermon. And if you want to follow along in your Bible, I would encourage you to turn or Google to Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. We're back in the Gospel of Luke. Pastor Don told the story last week of Jesus calming the storm. Jesus and the disciples were in a small boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a large inland Great Lake type body of water. And it was so wonderfully appropriate given the situation in the midst of the storm that we're calling COVID-19. The Holy Spirit reminded us that even in the darkest, most tumultuous times, God is with us. Now, in our story today, Jesus and the disciples have reached the other side of the sea. They're in the country of the Gerasenes. The people who live here are mostly Gentiles, so they would seem a little bit foreign to Jesus and to his crew, just as Jesus and his crew would seem somewhat foreign to the Gerasenes. The first person they encounter is someone who is clearly troubled. Luke straight away tells us that this man has demons, plural. He's naked, he's living outside among the tombs, and he bears the marks of someone who is living in deep trouble. He's been bound by chains and broken out of those chains multiple times. And when he sees Jesus, he approaches him. He falls down at Jesus' feet, and he identifies Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. And then he begs Jesus to leave him alone. That's weird, right? A man who lives alone in the graveyard outside of town sees a boat come ashore, recognizes that the one man capable of healing him and casting out his demons, and then he goes and he confronts this man, this Jesus person, and then he asks Jesus to leave him alone. I mean, if that's what he wanted, if he wanted Jesus to leave him alone, couldn't he have just stayed hidden? You know, stayed in one of the tombs and not bothered or been bothered by this Jesus fellow. It's a neat little picture of the nature of humanity and sin here. I believe that this man, and we'll go ahead and call him Legion for the lack of a better name, he wants to be saved. He wants to be freed from the torment that his demons are inflicting on him. And so he approaches Jesus, perhaps reluctantly, but he drives himself forward in an attempt to ask for help. What comes out of his mouth is not a cry for help. It's a challenge, almost a threat. This is not the voice of a man who is asking Jesus for help. Now, this is where people have debated and disagreed on the nature of the man's affliction. Some argue that the man is schizophrenic, or suffering from other serious psychiatric disorders. Others say that he is indeed possessed by demonic spirits. Still others might see the demons that trouble him as metaphors for the man's own internal struggles, addiction, anxiety, pride, anger, any other number of vices that are common to us people. Now, we don't need to sidetrack into demonology or the nuances of psychology and sociology in the ancient Middle East. No matter what you believe or how you interpret this moment in Luke's gospel, the fact is that evil exists both deep within us and in the world around us. Whether this man had demons possessing him, severe mental health issues, or more likely both, he's clearly lost his fight with the demons who plague him. Not only that, but the community he was once a part of has also given up on him. The only time anyone seems to show up is when he's broken out of his chains and appeared near his old neighborhood. They do not treat him or care for him. Strong men do their best to get newer, stronger chains on him and tie him back up, then seem to forget about him. He no longer knows how to take care of himself. And clearly, no one else does either. And so, when he sees Jesus, his first instinct is to go to him, to ask for help from the one person who does know how to help, how to take care of him. His demons recoil, though, when they realize what is about to happen. They'll lose the man that they've been preying on this whole time. So, they try to put distance between the man, Legion, and Jesus, Stay away. We know who you are and what you want. Jesus doesn't back away. He gets closer. He asks for the man's name. Legion, for many demons have dwelled within the man. Now, in a moment unique to the accounts of Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, the demons have a request. They want to go into the herd of pigs nearby rather than to be cast into the abyss. And Jesus complies. The herd of swine promptly go tearing off and over the nearest cliff and into that same sea that Jesus had just sailed across. Once again, there are many explanations here. None of them have ever fully satisfied my curiosity. Maybe they work for you. Over the years, some have theorized that they posit that legion, since it's legion is the technical term for a Roman army unit consisting of 5,000 soldiers, Jesus casting the evil spirits into a herd of unclean swine who promptly drown was a message for the early Christians. Early Christians who lived in constant fear of Roman soldiers knocking on their doors, forcing them to renounce Christ or face death. Another theory is that Jesus, being raised a good Jewish boy, didn't see the swine as anything but a cluster of unclean livestock that bring disease and trouble. So he didn't see a problem with putting unclean spirits in unclean animals. Like I said, there's some interesting ideas, but not a fully satisfying answer to why this happens. Ultimately, I have to say I don't know why this strange event happens. That's okay. I think the real focus should be on the person in the story. Because Legion was a monster. He was shunned by his community. He was abandoned by his loved ones. Chains could not hold him, and he was tormented night and day by these demons. He was a naked, sick, mangy mess. When Legion encountered Jesus, Jesus did not see a monster. He didn't even seem to care so much about the demons. He cared about the person. When Jesus healed him, Jesus showed Legion, the man, that he was worthy of being healthy, worthy of having peace, worthy of being a member of a community. When the swineherds saw what happens and they run to town to share the crazy news of what they just saw, they lead the whole people of the town and the countryside back to see a sight far more astonishing than a wild man ravaged by an evil madness, or even a sight far more astonishing than pigs going mad and jumping off a cliff into the sea. They see this same man, the one who had been a monster, wearing clothes, in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, the good rabbi. After the debacle with the swine, the town asked Jesus, maybe it's time to move on, huh? And Jesus and his disciples agree, and they head back towards the boat to cross the sea once again. The man Legion wants to come with him, to be one of his disciples, to travel with this group of followers. But Jesus has just restored this man to his community, and he insists that he stay in his home. Surely neighbors will continue to come by and ask how he came to be made whole again. When they do, Jesus instructs him, "Tell everyone what God has done for you." Luke writes that is exactly what the man who had been healed did. He is giving all the glory to God for what Jesus had done for him. Now, while this tale, this bit of scripture, may seem like an ancient story of a strange moment in a faraway land, the Holy Spirit is showing us that scripture still speaks to us where we are, when we need to hear it. First of all, when we say that Jesus saves, sometimes that phrase has become so common that we lose a lot of what that means. Jesus saves. In the original language of the Gospels, to save was the Greek word sozo, And sozo doesn't just mean to save. It also means to heal, to restore, to make whole. In other words, when we proclaim that Jesus saves, we're not just saying that Jesus punches your ticket to the good place when you kick the bucket. And if that is our focus, then we're missing out on the rest of the meaning. Jesus saves. So let's break it down. Let's use the story of this man called Legion to see all the wonderful ways that Jesus indeed saves. And this is the part where if you're taking sermon notes or if we had slides behind me, which we don't, and that's okay. First of all, Jesus sees us. Jesus sees us. My favorite part of Pastor Don's sermon 2 weeks ago was on the woman at the table of the Pharisee. And Don commented, he lifted up this moment in Scripture where Jesus sees the woman. And he challenges the Pharisee, saying, "You haven't seen this woman yet." To be seen, to be recognized as a person worthy of attention and acknowledgement, that's a powerful act. It can bring love and justice to a person in a situation where before there was neither love nor justice. Jesus sees Legion. He does not shrink away. He does not shun his eyes. He does not quickly scoot his disciples onto the next path. He sees the man. He recognizes him as one worthy to be acknowledged, to hear the word of God, to hear that God loves him. Jesus sees him not as some demonic monster, but as a beloved child of God. Jesus sees us. Jesus sees past our faults, past our sins, our mistakes, our masks that we like to hold up in front of us. He sees past all that. He sees us. You and me. Jesus looks us in the eye and declares us, saying, "You are worthy. You are worthy of forgiveness, of love. You belong." So first, Jesus sees us, just as he saw Legion. Second, Jesus heals us. Jesus heals Legion. He casts out the demons and brings mental and emotional healing, spiritual healing, where before there were open wounds and ongoing suffering. No matter how we suffer, Jesus offers healing. Sometimes it doesn't come in the form that we expect, but we find peace and restoration where before there was none in Jesus. So first, Jesus sees us. Second, Jesus heals us. Third, Jesus restores us. Legion, the man who had been an outcast, is welcomed back into his community. At the beginning of the story, Jesus was the only one who saw him as a child of God, worthy of love and belonging. At the end of the story, he's restored to his home, to his neighborhood. Everyone can see him the way Jesus sees him. When we look at ourselves, all too often we only see the failures, the mistakes, the fears, the regrets, and the worries. We declare ourselves unworthy of love and belonging. Jesus sees us for who we are in him, not focusing on anything that clouds who we are in him. Jesus sees us, heals us, and restores us so that we can see ourselves and each other the way Jesus has always seen us, beloved children of God. And just as Jesus instructs Legion to remain in his community, to continue to witness what God has done, so too we are encouraged to take our place in our community, seeing the people around us the way God sees them. Forgiven, restored, made worthy of love. We're called to do this, and in doing so, giving glory to God who has made us, who sees us, heals us, and calls us lovely. One of the greatest dangers during this time, aside from the COVID-19 disease itself, will be the temptation to stop being part of your good and beautiful community. Without the physical presence of friends and loved ones, it will be easier to hear the lies. Lies born out of fear and hatred. Lies that say, you're not worthy. Lies that say, no one could love me. Lies that say, God doesn't care about us anymore. Friends, those are all lies straight from the pits of hell. They are not true. Jesus saved back then with Legion. Jesus saves today, and Jesus will save tomorrow. Jesus has defeated the eternal power of sin, death, and hell. Jesus saves us not only from eternal torment, but from the momentary torment we might be facing today. Jesus sees you. Jesus heals you. Jesus restores you. You are a beloved and worthy member of this community. Even with physical distance between us, you have been given gifts for creativity, for encouragement, for teaching, for sharing God's word in ways that bring life and hope to dark and hopeless places. So friends, please use those gifts. Like Legion, we are commanded to stay in the place we find ourselves in, to tell everyone what God has done for us. What a wonderful opportunity. Let's get to work. Amen.